This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Mayor Brandon Johnson is back, and he's ready to answer Chicago's questions. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Once a month, Chicago's chief executive, Mayor Brandon Johnson, stops by the WBEZ studios to answer your questions. A group of aldermen have proposed an alternative budget. No head tax, no garbage fees, and just a tiny property tax hike. So what's the mayor think about it? This hour, we'll ask him. Plus, stick around for some important context and background from Mariah Wolfel, WBEZ's city government and politics reporter. The clock is ticking on this budget deadline, so let's get into it. Now, we're gearing up for a full city council vote as early as tomorrow. As I said, this alternate budget does not include a corporate head tax. So I started by asking the mayor, does this mean your proposal of a head tax is effectively dead?
Well, look, it was never about just a corporate head tax. It was about how we fundamentally change how we balance budgets in our city. Historically, we've balanced budgets off the backs of working people. We saw mass exodus from the city of Chicago of working people because of those failures. What we were very clear about is that we cannot have a garbage a fee collection increase, that we could not have the collection of a grocery tax, and we're not going to balance this budget off the backs of working people, particularly around raising property taxes. All of that has been maintained.
Yeah.
Clearly, the alternative presentation certainly agrees with me, but we had to work to get them to back off, right? They were trying to double the garbage fees, right? They looked to take away 5,000 jobs from young people. That would have been a disaster. So they've backed away from those type of measures. But here's what it comes down to, that the what they have proposed essentially is still not balanced. Our team is still running through the numbers. But what we are very clear about is that they have decided to replace the corporate head tax with fines and fees. $90 million of sending debt collectors after poor and working people. I've made it very clear that I believe the best pathway is the challenge the interests of corporations, which many of them agree with that. But you know, look, if the vast majority of city council members are going to work in opposition to what 80% of the people of Chicago have said, that's the democratic process. But it's going to come down to something very simple.
Yeah.
You're either going to raise, you know, $100 million on fines and fees and sending debt collectors after working people and poor people, or we can challenge corporations to put more skin in the game. My position is challenge corporations, but, you know, it appears that the vast majority of alders would much rather tax working people.
Let's dig into a few things you mentioned there. So you say they've backed away, right? WTTW called these two votes a stunning rebuke of you and your administration, as well as your vision for our city. Do you see it that way?
Everything that they have put forward in this budget, absent the corporate head tax, is in complete alignment with what I've put forward, right? We said that we have to invest in mental and behavioral health. So that's still in their proposal. We said that we have to make sure that we are ensuring that young people have access to jobs. That's still in their budget. They wanted to put in a garbage fee. They backed away from that, right? So, you know, this notion that this is some sort of rebuke, when they admit it, that we're really debating over less than 2% of the overall budget, right? And so we have two directions here. Corporations could put more skin in the game, or you can tax working people. That's not a rebuke of me. That's a rebuke of the 80% of the people of the city of Chicago who believe what I believe.
Let's talk about some more of the specifics here in this alternative budget. And I want to get whether you support or don't support some of these measures. So the increase in city liquor tax, your feelings on that?
I don't believe that's the right direction to go. But again, that's what, you know, debates are for.
The increase in plastic bag fees.
You know, again, I've already made it very clear about what my position is, right? So what I've made very clear is that we can go through all those line items, but here's what it comes down to, Sasha. There's $90 million of fines, fees, and forfeitures that this alternative budget is going after versus raising that same amount of money on less than 1% of the largest corporations who received the largest tax break in American history, right? So again, by their own admission, they recognize that corporations have to put more skin in the game. There's the personal property lease tax that we raise. That's a direct tax on corporations, mm-hmm. right? So it's not a repudiation or a rebuke of me. 80% of Chicagoans have said they are in agreement with taxing these large corporations. The alternative presentation has also said that they agree with me. So all of the measures and the full vision that we have in this budget, all of that is intact.
Yeah.
The difference is that this alternative plan has mm-hmm. decided to tax working people and poor people. There's $90 million in debt collection that, quite frankly, is really impossible to raise. And it's I don't believe it's even morally right as well.
What about the, you say it comes up $163 million short. Is that your biggest concern?
I mean, it should be everyone's concern, right?
Because if that's true, then we can see this mid-year budget shortfall.
Absolutely, which ultimately that's what, you know, I believe some folks want to put that burden on me. I'm saying let's just fix it and do it right on the front end. This is a real clear distinction between corporate interests and working people. This is the problem that Democrats are having across this country. We still have too many Democrats who are beholden to the interests of corporations and not working people. The people of this city and around this country have repeatedly said that corporations and the ultra rich have to put more skin in the game. Making this personal towards me as if it's some rebuke against my presentation is not only short-sighted, but it continues to miss the mark. The people of Chicago have overwhelmingly said that corporations, and particularly the revenue stream that I put forth, is the best way to balance this budget.
Yeah.
But if the vast majority of Alders are committed to raising that revenue by increasing fines, fees, and sicking debt collectors after working people and poor people, that's democracy. But it certainly doesn't mean that this fight is over. Look, you're not going to get everything that you want in this budget. What we all can agree on, essentially every proposal that I put forward, even those who oppose me, agree with my vision for Chicago. That's why in this budget, we keep and maintain youth employment. We keep and maintain our investments in mental and behavioral health care services. We keep and maintain our support for CVI. All of the work that's being done to drive violence down in the city of Chicago. There's one distinction here. Mayor Brandon Johnson, along with 80% of the people of this city, believe that corporations should put more skin in the game, and there's a vast majority of Alders mm-hmm. who believe that they should raise fines, fees, and forfeitures on working people and poor people.
Yeah, and it's a fair argument to be calling for more corporate taxes, but at this point, this budget, what we're looking at right now, it doesn't have the corporate head tax. Do you think you'll veto the budget plan?
Well, look, I'm doing everything in my power to avoid a shutdown. I've always said that the veto is only on the table depending on what's in the budget. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing has been ultimately finalized, right? We are still actively negotiating, but one thing that I could say for sure, $100 million being raised by essentially going after working people and poor people, I believe it's the wrong approach, and quite frankly, 80% of Chicago agrees with me.
If we're sticking with the veto here, I mean, if you do decide that you're going to do that, the council can override a mayoral veto with 34 votes. Do you think that you have enough council members on your side to avoid that happening?
I know that there are a number of people in the city council who do agree with me on how we balance this budget. It's a significant number, you know, again, but if
34?
Well, we're talking about do they have 34 votes to override a veto? What I can say is that there are a significant number of alders who agree with me that balancing this budget off the backs of working people, particularly at a time in which people are struggling to make ends meet, healthcare costs are going up, the cost of living in general is just going up. It's not only short-sighted, it's just plain and simple wrong. Mm. And if people in this city firmly agree that corporations should foot the bill for this last $100 million, they need to call their alderman, because they have their support on the fifth floor already.
As I mentioned earlier, we are expecting a procedural vote today and a full city council vote on this alternative budget that we're discussing, Mayor, on Friday or Saturday. Do you think there will be some changes to the alternative budget before that full city council vote?
I certainly hope so, right? Because, again, $100 million sending debt collectors. Again, first of all, I don't even believe it's possible for someone to for a debt collector to actually purchase that debt. And then even if they were to do that, there's not a listener, I believe, on your station that has not had some experience or knows someone that has had an experience of the aggressive, egregious activity of debt collectors. That's what this is coming down to. And so, you know, I'm going to still hold, you know, hope in my hands that, you know, we don't have a situation where this budget is balanced in a way that, quite frankly, is detrimental to working people and poor people.
Let's jump to the phones. We've got people waiting to talk with you. Paul in Irving Park is standing by. Good morning, Paul. What's your question for Mayor Johnson?
Mr. Mayor, thanks so much for doing this. I really do respect that you're willing to listen to the people. My question is, as we talk about the budget, what are you doing to make city services, you know, cut waste and make city services more efficient? Something that drives me nuts that I see happen fairly frequently. Let's talk about roads, where I'll see a road get repaved, and then within 6 months, you know, somebody will come by and tear up the road again and put in new pedestrian islands. And I just always think to myself, you know, that's two contracts that should have been done with one contract. And I see that pretty frequently here in the city. And it aggravates me as a taxpayer that, you know, we paid twice for the same work. So what are you doing in your administration to, you know, stop that, I guess?
Thanks for your question, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you for your question. So as you may recall, earlier this year, we put together the Ernst & Young report, where we brought in experts from many disciplines, business, labor, elected leaders, to find ways in which we can make government far more productive and efficient. And within that report, Paul, we instituted, in this budget, we implement over half of those recommendations, some of which will address what you are talking about, because we've seen in our procurement process, because we have so many different measures of procurement throughout the city of Chicago, the right hand is not always clear about what the left hand is doing. But it's also ensuring that not only do we capture savings in this budget, which is roughly $200 million of savings and cuts, over the course of the next 10 years, those savings are going to lead to $600 million plus in savings. And that doesn't include the other ideas that we will implement in budgets to come. Paul, the reality is that, you know, one budget is not going to overturn decades of malfeasance, right? It's going to take time. And we're already seeing the work that we have put in that is ultimately saving taxpayer dollars. Same thing with modernizing our police department, reining in, you know, overtime, making sure that, you know, our tax structure in particular is structurally sound, so that we're not just doing these one-offs to balance the budget. And so I would encourage you to look at the Ernst & Young report. There's some feedback there that we will welcome, but this budget already has, on top of the savings that we put forth last year, has sizably reduced the footprint of government, but it's also made it more modern and streamlined, so we don't have the duplicative elements that you just described.
Thanks, Mayor. Here's Cindy in Avondale. Good morning, Cindy. What's your question?
Good morning, Mayor Johnson. I understand that not everybody can afford the $9.50 garbage fee or other fees that the city charges, but many people can afford to pay more. Is there any way of doing the mean test for some of these user fees?
Is there any way of doing what?
A means test. You know, you submit what your income is, and then the fee that you pay is based on what your income is.
There's been some discussion about that, and, again, what was proposed was doubling the amount of garbage fees without those type of exemptions that you're talking about, because quite frankly, the level of revenue that they would capture from what you've described still would not put us in a position to be able to balance this budget, but again, at a time in which corporations are making billions of dollars, those who may have means to pay more in garbage are still underwhelm these big corporations who certainly have means to pay 0.0008% of their payroll tax. So, look, I don't believe it's the right time to raise garbage fees at a time in which people are struggling every day, as healthcare costs are likely to double next year. So people who believe that they have means to afford it today may not be the case come January.
When I talked to you last month, when you were on In the Loop in November, you said, this is a good thing what's happening right now. City council members are proposing ideas. That's how the democratic process is supposed to work. Compromise, collaboration, it's all important. We're hearing several alderpersons, though, talk to the media, telling the Chicago Tribune, for instance, that your team isn't in contact, that you're not collaborating. We heard Alderman Emma Mitz say that she hadn't been contacted in days. And in the past, when she did try to talk to someone from your team, they just wanted to discuss your agenda. A quick response to that?
It's not true.
Okay. As we sort of look at where this process has come to, I mean, is there anything now that we've gotten to this stage, Mayor Johnson, that you wish you had done differently?
No.
Tell me why. Because now we're at this point that feels unprecedented because...
Well, it's unprecedented because the city has not had a transformative moment in 40 years. Why would I regret that I'm standing up for working people? I don't have those regrets. Look, I've made it very clear that we're going to build the safest, most affordable big city in America. Mm-hmm. And at a time in which the Trump administration is cutting off access to the very basic needs that you would require to have, a democratic society, it's incumbent upon us as leaders in this moment to ensure working people that we still believe in justice, quite frankly. And so, look, we started this process over a year ago. We've had the most transparent, open process ever in the history of Chicago. The Ernst & Young report that many people are reporting to, remember, Sasha, people disagree with me. Those same city council members, you know this, disagreed that I actually put forth resources to put this study together. And now they're trying to throw it in our face as if we have not implemented anything. You can't have it both ways. You either support the interests of corporations, and in this instance, you have a number of alders, the democratic process, where they have seen my proposal, they've heard from the vast majority of Chicagoans who have overwhelmingly said that corporations and the ultra-rich have to put more skin in the game. We've seen national elections reflect that, and you still have the majority of members of city council who believe that $100 million, instead of being raised by corporations, should be taxed on the backs of working people. What else can I do outside of making my case that this is the right approach? At the end of the day, my job is to present a budget. It's their job to pass one. I'm going to continue to work with alders to ensure that as we prepare a more structurally sound budget that puts us on a pathway to solvency while also making the critical investments, which here's the thing, if you look at their proposal, they agree with all of my investments.
Here's the thing, it also feels though, to your point, right? Chicago mayors in the past, they've dictated the budget process. And I think that's what I was getting to is that this feels different because typically you see a mayor introduce a budget, most aldermen sign on, it passes eventually. And it feels like the script has been flipped here. You've got aldermen running around saying, we're still driving the process. And you are saying, on the other hand, that what we're looking at right now as far as this alternative budget could lead to these significant financial liabilities. So are we more far apart than it seems?
No. We're talking about less than 2% of the budget. Just keep in mind, here's what the argument is over. There is an argument. There's less than 2% of this budget that needs to be filled. Those who have been, reticent to some of my proposals have all capitulated to what? No garbage fee, right? Because that's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. I said, we don't need that. So they took it out. I said, we have to invest in young people. They cut that by 5,000 positions. And then they decided to put it back in,
Right? Is anything else on the table right now? What are your conversations with Alderman now?
I'm telling you what it is. There's $100 million that there are right now. There's a majority of alders who would prefer to tax working and poor people, particularly by sending debt collectors after poor people and working people, mm-hmm. which I don't believe there's a realistic pathway to be able to generate that revenue. And I don't believe it's morally sound, quite frankly. Or, you know, we could tax less than 0.5% of the largest corporations. Now, there may be an approach and a compromise where we can come together and figure out how we raise that last bit of $100 million without going after working people and poor people. There's still time to do that. But, you know, I think it's, quite frankly, it's misrepresentation of what's happening. Is there strong emotions and positions that people have towards my administration? Yes, because we are fundamentally changing the way government shows up for working people. Mm-hmm. The last time that happened, which many news publications have expressed this, it was 40 years ago when Mayor Harold Washington was on the fifth floor. So there is a clear line here that we are drawing.
So which part do you think is being misrepresented?
That somehow this notion, is this a repudiation or rebuke against me personally? It's not. It's a rebuke against working people in this city who have become dissatisfied with the status quo. And there are individuals who want to maintain the status quo, right? And again, they've already admitted that all of the investments they support. So that's what I'm saying is this misrepresentation. It's coming down to less than 2% of the budget. They agree in youth employment. They agree that we should have the smart tax to raise revenue for mental and behavioral health care services. They now believe that a garbage fee is not the right way to go. They have backed off this notion to collect a grocery tax. There were members of city council who wanted to raise property taxes. They're not going to say it out loud, but they've expressed that. Mm-hmm. None of those things happen. That was my line in the sand. So if we're just going to have a real, true analysis about what happened, here's what my red lines were. No, don't balance this budget off of property tax increase. Don't balance this budget with garbage fees. Don't balance this budget with a grocery tax. And then make the critical investments to continue to drive violence down in the city of Chicago. All of that is still in this budget. It's coming down to less than 2%, which they've admitted that you're either going to go after working people and poor people, or we're going to challenge these big corporations. That's what the fight is about, you all. It's not a fight about me personally. This is a fundamental difference in our society right now of who has to pay more. There's a fundamental disagreement. That is not just a fight against Brandon Johnson. We saw that fight in New Jersey, right? We saw that fight in New York. We're seeing that fight in congressional seats across this country. People are sick and tired of corporations having unfettered access to our politics, and then corporations and the ultra-rich get to dominate and dictate for the masses. That is a failed strategy. We've seen that over and over and over again. So yes, there's a strong position that I'm maintaining, because it's the position that is righteous, it's the position that's just, and it's the position that the vast majority of Chicagoans want, and it's the position that the vast majority of Americans want. We are on the right side of this. And here's the thing, if the corporate head tax is not in this, it doesn't mean this fight is over. You're not going to solve decades of historic disinvestment in one or two or three budgets. See, people believe that in politics, there's a winner take all in one budget. I'm here for the long run, because we're going to transform this city, whether it comes out emphatically all in this budget or the next budget. But one thing that I know for sure, there's a clear decision that the people of Chicago will have to make. Do we continue to support people who are beholden to the ultra rich and large corporations, or do we stand firm with people who are standing firm with working people?
You've got a tight time frame with us today, so I want to get to a couple more callers, Mayor. Here's Mike in Lincoln Square. Mike, what's your question?
Hi, I just wanted to know if I ride the Lakeshore Drive two or three times a week. And people are speeding like crazy on there. There's never any cops chasing them. Can't we put speed monitors there to slow people down and also to gain more revenue?
Mm. Well, look, traffic safety is a big deal. We know that several years prior, we were having a number of traffic deaths that is just absolutely painful. And so we're moving in a better direction. where traffic fatalities are down. But as far as using monitors to clock and track people's speed, that's not something that I've looked into, but I'm willing to do that.
Thanks, Mayor. Here's August in Streeterville. Hi, August. What's your question?
Hey, we live near Northwestern University and Hospital, and they reported over $1 billion in profit last year. Why don't we tax them? Why are they still tax exempt?
Yeah, that's a great question. They're a non-for-profit, but there is something called the pilot. It's a payment in lieu of taxes that we are exploring and looking into, because to your point, you have hospitals and universities, quite frankly, that have incredible profit, and they benefit from all of the investments that the city makes to ensure that their institutions are sound. It's something that we talked about last year. You should expect that conversation to continue in the new year. Thank you for that.
This plan seems like it's poised to pass the full city council in the coming days. So considering the concerns that you have with it, which are great ones, will you veto this plan?
You know, look, I have not made that final decision, quite frankly. You know, again, what I'm troubled by, and all of us should be, is that what has been put forward, there's still $160 to $165 million of a lack of revenue. So what they have put forth, their plan is not balanced, right? And so it may not, you know, be a matter of whether or not this budget is vetoed. It's more or less, if you pass a budget that's unbalanced, that's going to lead to cuts and layoffs mid-year, because you're going to have to make up that difference. I believe that's irresponsible. And I believe the vast majority of the people of Chicago, if not all of Chicago, would also agree with me. And particularly at a time in which, you know, we've worked hard to make investments to drive our economy. You may have, you know, maybe aware that Sargent and Lundy that signed the largest lease for downtown in the last couple of years just expanded their space. We have a major developer that just announced a 28-story apartment, you know, a building. J.P. Morgan is going to expand their footprint along the Mag Mile. And so you're seeing our airports continue to break records and violence continues to go down. There's still a lot more work to be done. And we can acknowledge that we have made progress and that there's still more work to be done.
Right. So real quick, in a scenario, we can explore it. In the case where a budget doesn't pass by December 31st, I mean, what would that actually look like in practice? Would trash be picked up?
Let me just say, I'm going to make sure that the government doesn't shut down. So whatever I have to do to ensure that the government doesn't get shut down, I'm going to do that. Like, you know, look, no one benefits from that. I do know that there are some individuals, not on city council necessarily, but there are some individuals that want that type of chaos and destruction because they thrive in that. You see how Donald Trump thrives in chaos. There are people who are trying to influence this budget, want us to have that type of chaos. That I'm not going to stand for. So I'm going to do whatever is necessary to avoid a government shutdown, because no one benefits except for the handful of people, the ultra rich, the handful of people that are aligned with Trumpism. Those are the only folks who benefit from that type of destruction.
Anything you think you've learned about yourself during this process?
Well, you know, I will say that, you know, I've known that I've been, you know, a resilient person. I've known that I've always been amenable to people's ideas and concepts. You know, who you are and who you've been certainly comes out in the midst of stress. And I am unfazed by, you know, all of the pressure, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I have learned is that there are more people who believe in our vision than those who are spending millions of dollars to stop our vision.
Yeah.
So, you know, the person that, you know, I was called to be, that's the person that I am. And I'm going to continue to be resilient and to be firm in our position to ensure that we're protecting all of Chicago.
And you've got to go. I've got people staring at me through the glass. Okay. You got to get over to City Hall. But I've got to squeeze in one question or I wouldn't be doing my job. The Bears, they're once again considering Northwest Indiana for this new stadium. We know Governor Pritzker's pushing back. You've said in the past, at least in the spring, when we were talking about Arlington Heights, you've done all you can. Still feel that way?
the best place for the Chicago Bears to be is in Chicago. And our door will always remain open to the Bears organization. And so that's been my position. And that's going to remain my position. I'm obviously rooting for them on Saturday. It's good for the city when our teams are winning. And I believe it's best for the Bears to remain on the best property in the world, which is the lakefront.
It's good when the Chicago Bears are in Chicago, right?
I would agree. And I think the vast majority of people would also agree.
Yeah. Mayor Brandon Johnson, thank you so much for joining us
You're welcome.
Taking our calls and listener calls.
Of course.
Well.
Happy holidays, everyone.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Okay, we just heard from Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson about the city's heated budget battle. Now let's get someone who's been watching this really closely to make it all make sense. I spoke with WBEZ City Government and Politics reporter Mariah Wolfel. Now, Mayor Johnson says he's doing everything in his power to avoid a government shutdown, which kind of takes a veto off the table, right? Here's Mariah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question right now, to veto or not to veto, as the Chicago Tribune wrote in their lead story. It sounds to me like he's not going to veto this proposal, I'll be honest. That's my takeaway from the conversation. But that is, you know, that I could be wrong about that. He says he hasn't made his final decision, and there are definitely some big questions about this budget proposal that's slated for a vote in the next few days, including this $163 million gap that the budget office says it will create in the city's spending plan next year. But, you know, he's counting his wins from concessions that Alders made in this alternative proposal. And that is the narrative that he's kind of driving right now. And I'm not sure why he would be doing that if it's not something he's considering about signing. And then, as you pointed out, he said he's not going to let the government shut down no matter what. Last night, his chief financial officer said that a government shutdown, she said, you know, unequivocally, a government shutdown is worse than passing an unbalanced budget in terms of credit ratings. His budget director kind of walked that back a little bit after and said they're both really bad. You know, a government shutdown is really bad for credit ratings for the city, but an unbalanced budget will have effect on workers and services if mid-year next year they're looking at their options for how to make those ends meet, and their options will dwindle after the city passes a budget. It then gets down to hiring freezes or layoffs or cutting programs, she told Alders yesterday. And so to me, it sounds like, yeah, of course, a decision is never final, but I read that interview as he's looking for positives from this alternative proposal. He said a majority of Alders disagree with him that, you know, he said a vast majority of Alders disagree with him that a corporate head tax is the way to boost revenue in the city. Mm-hmm. And so that to me shows that, you know, how his math is working, that this budget is going to pass, and that he's looking for, you know, reasons that he could potentially support it despite disagreeing with a lot of what's in it.
Yeah. You're outside of council chambers right now. They go back into session at 10 a.m. What's the atmosphere like right now?
Well, people are filling in. There's a news conference happening. at City Hall with the alders who passed this alternative spending plan, and they're, you know, likely talking about their plans and doing their victory lap after it passed Finance and Budget Committee. And so, you know, there's a lot that could happen today. My guess is that it's going to be a procedural maneuver to kind of set the budget up for votes on Friday. There's a meeting on Saturday as well. And then we have meetings on the books for next week, too. So there's plenty of opportunities and plenty of room for negotiations if the council and the mayor wanted to do so in the coming days before a final vote, even before Christmas.
If you're just tuning in, welcome. This is In the Loop. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and we've got WBEZ City Hall reporter Mariah Wolfel on the line. We are just reviewing my conversation with Mayor Johnson. He was on for Ask the Mayor for a majority of this hour, answering many questions from me and from you about our budget. Now, they're at a stalemate, Mayor Johnson, as well as a group of aldermen who are looking over an alternative budget. And the deadline is fast approaching. They've got 13 days until December 31st to come to some sort of consensus. And so Mariah and I are just talking about what we heard from the mayor. And earlier I mentioned, you know, or he mentioned that this rival budget plan that passed the Finance Committee on Tuesday and the Budget Committee yesterday. I asked him whether this was a defeat. He sort of repeatedly talked about the fact that this is not a personal attack against him. He talked about how we're pretty much 98% of the way, you know, on the same page. All this debate is about 2% of the budget. What do you think, Mariah? How big of a defeat do you think that was for Mayor Johnson?
Well, I do think that he's right that Alders did concede a lot in this proposal that they passed. There is no garbage tax. They wanted to initially double that. Then they backed down to $15, which would be nearly doubling, but not quite. And then they took it out completely. But that was largely because they needed to win over votes from members of the Black Caucus who said, I do not want to, you know, double my residents' garbage fees. It doesn't have a grocery tax, but that wasn't in an initial proposal, although I'm sure it was thought about as balancing the budget. And, and when he says there's no property tax, I mean, technically this budget isn't largely balanced on a property tax, and it could potentially survive without it, but it does raise property taxes slightly to fund Chicago public libraries. But they did not concede on his biggest demand that this budget would include progressive revenue, if not the corporate head tax. And he lost that battle, and that was the biggest one of this budget season. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they took control of this budget process in an unprecedented way, you know, to the point where renegade alders in this coalition were basically holding a budget hearing and presenting their findings and presenting revenue projections to the city council. It's not something that the press corps has really seen or witnessed in this council. And it harkens back to the days of Mayor Harold Washington during the council wars. But, you know, as for what he was kind of making the distinction of whether this is a rebuke of him or of the corporate head tax, or of Chicagoans who want to tax corporations more. And I think it's both and all of those things. You know, there were more things in this budget that alders disliked than the corporate head tax, but the corporate head tax became the biggest red line. And this budget season, again, as it did last year, showcased severe mistrust between the Johnson administration and even some of his own allies.
Right.
And also these council alders who, yesterday, you know, told his budget officials that they've lost all credibility. And that is a rebuke of Johnson himself.
Absolutely. Alderman Wagaspak said, quote, "We are still driving the process. Johnson's moving full speed ahead without wanting to change the path that he's on." I want us to listen to what Johnson said this morning on In the Loop about what some of the similarities and differences are between his budget and the alders' proposal.
Everything that they have put forward in this budget, absent the corporate head tax, is in complete alignment with what I've put forward, right? We said that we have to invest in mental and behavioral health. So that's still in their proposal. We said that we have to make sure that we are ensuring that young people have access to jobs. That's still in their budget. They wanted to put in a garbage fee. They backed away from that, right? So, you know, this notion that this is some sort of rebuke, when they admit it, that we're really debating over less than 2% of the overall budget,
yeah,
right? And so we have two directions here. Corporations could put more skin in the game, or you can tax working people. That's not a rebuke of me. That's a rebuke of the 80% of the people of the city of Chicago who believe what I believe.
Your thoughts, Mariah?
Yeah, I mean, the corporate head tax was by far the biggest sticking point in this budget. Alders also pointed to the fact that the Johnson administration wasn't going to make a full advanced pension payment, and that was not going to look good with credit rating agencies. They also pointed to the fact that he was borrowing to pay for a firefighter's contract. And they pointed to those two to say it's not just about the corporate head tax. And in their final proposal, they were able to fully fund that advanced pension payment, and they took out the corporate head tax. But you will also see they couldn't find a way to not borrow for the firefighter's contract. And when you listen to Alders of the alternative plan, you know, talk about how they worked together to negotiate, the thing that unites them is the corporate head tax. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've said it themselves. And so, you know, he's making the point there that this is about a split between the Democratic Party and Democratic politicians who are aligned with corporate interests and progressives who want to see more progressive revenue. And I think there is, you know, you do see some truth to that. But there are many Alders, too, who support getting rid of this corporate head tax because they see this as a job killer. They see this as a way of disincentivizing jobs and that has effect on Chicago residents. And so it's not so black and white for every single Alder who supported this alternative revenue plan. But I do think I do think there is some validity to his point.
Remind us who some of the Alders are leading that alternate budget effort.
Well, the most prominent is Johnson's own finance chair, Pat Dowell, who from the very beginning said that she wouldn't support any level of a corporate head tax. And Dowell was one of the first Alders when Johnson was running mm-hmm. to endorse Johnson in that crowded field. And she's been an ally of his. But this budget season has really separated them. You also see downtown Alderman Bill Conway, you see downtown Alderman Brendan Riley, downtown Alderman Brian Hopkins. It's a collection of moderate and conservative Alders who have banded together to make a majority.
Yeah, Johnson told me that he didn't think their rival budget was morally right. What do you see from your standpoint? Is there any more room right now for negotiation?
Well, I mean, they've had a lot of time to negotiate. I mean, they met this week and, you know, met for 30 minutes and, you know, the coalition of Alders asked Johnson, are you going to veto any budget that doesn't have a corporate head tax, trying to get him to show his cards? And Johnson said, I can't tell you that unless you show me what you're replacing the revenue with. Show me your proposal. And they said, we're not going to show you our proposal because we don't trust that you're going to take it seriously because you won't tell us if you're going to veto it automatically. And so they just, you know, they went back and forth for 30 minutes. They caucused for 30 minutes mm-hmm. to see if they wanted to share the proposal. And then they didn't. I mean, there's just a severe lack of, I think, mistrust between these two sides
right.
That I don't, but they are going to have to I think they're going to have to talk about and how to reconcile this $163 million potential shortfall that Johnson's budget
yes.
office says will exist.
Absolutely. That's where it seems like the math is just way off on both sides.
Right. And see how they're going to make up that difference. Are they going to do it now or are they going to come back mid-year? Are they going to, you know, decrease some positions? Are they going to, you know, cut some programs to make up for that $163 million? But on the spending on the revenue, you know, I just don't know that there's mm-hmm. any common ground on how to raise revenue
right.
for the city.
When I think back to my conversation with Mayor Johnson last month, you know, he talked about how the budget process had been well orchestrated and how, you know, everything started early. He started engaging with Alders in the spring and all the town halls, even coming on WBEZ doing Ask the Mayor. But, you know, do you think Johnson should have done more early on, like before introducing this budget, to get more of these Alder people on board?
I mean, I think how could you say no at this point? I mean, like, because he's suffered this loss and, mm-hmm. and he's going to have to either veto or sign you know, veto a budget, the first, you know, mayor in modern history to have to veto a budget, you know, since Harold Washington, or he's going to have to sign a budget that he severely disagrees with. And so I don't know how you can say that he shouldn't have done more up until this point. I don't know about earlier. You know, the budget season does start really early, and his budget office is looking at this year round. But, you know, could they have started talking to opposing alders, you know, people who they're not talking to on a regular basis more right. regularly and holding more negotiations? I mean, I don't know the exact ins and outs. They're going to claim that they've done that, and opposing alders are going to claim that mm-hmm. they haven't seen any effort. But yeah, I mean, this isn't where he wants to be. And so
right.
you'd imagine there's some sort of course correction. His argument is that there's nothing that he could do to get alders to sign on to a corporate head tax when they want to protect corporate interests. Mm-hmm. That's his argument. And maybe there's some truth to that with some of his most severe opponents on the council. But his right. most severe opponents on the council don't make a majority. Right. You know, his finance chair is not one of his most severe opponents. And right. surely, you know, potentially she could have been a swing vote on something.
Thanks for listening to In the Loop. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons. Join me here every weekday for in-depth coverage of Chicago news and culture. Let's talk again soon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.